This is NPR Illinois. I'm Jamie Dunn. This week, NPR is focusing on voting across the country in a series of reports called A Nation Engaged. As part of the project, NPR Illinois took a look at issues affecting voters in our state. When Illinois voters go to the polls in November, many will find only one candidate listed on their ballot for some offices. Illinois has a larger percentage of these uncontested races for the General Assembly than other states similar in population size. Springfield resident Casey Becker gets frustrated when he sees that a candidate is running for office without opposition.
It angers me. I just don't understand how there's not a candidate from at least two of the main parties, if not more.
When there's only one person running for an office, he takes it upon himself to be the second option, at least on his own ballot.
If there's not a legitimate write-in candidate, I will write in myself.
When we talked about setting up this interview, you said, I know that this is kind of ridiculous, but I mean, why do you think it's ridiculous and why do you do it anyway?
Well, it's ridiculous because I'm not really technically in the race. I know that the person who's running uncontested is going to win if there's not a legit write-in candidate. So I kind of look at it and I think what I'm thinking is this person is running against no one. Well, I'm better than no one, so I'm going to put myself in there.
The Illinois Campaign for Political Reform crunched the numbers and found out that of the 158 seats in the General Assembly that are up this year, 62 of them have at least two candidates running in the general election. The group compared Illinois to five other states that are similar in population size. I talked with Executive Director Sarah Bruni.
So we found that 39% of Illinois General Assembly elections for the fall are contested, and we found that it's not a great outlook compared to other states. We found that California is actually about twice the number of contested elections in their state assembly at 79%. Ohio is next at 77%. Then Florida is next at 51%, although they have about a week left in their candidate filing period. Pennsylvania has 51%, and then Texas trails Illinois with 36%.
Why does this matter?
Well, I think that it's really important for voters and residents of Illinois to feel like they have a chance to make their voices heard in the electoral process. And the more choices they have, the more that they're going to elect the candidate they feel will best represent them.
Bruni says that changing the way legislative districts are drawn in the state could lead to more competitive legislative races.
Well, I do think that redistricting reform would definitely help, and we have supported the independent map amendment, which would take that to a citizen vote this fall.
The amendment Bruni is referring to would take the map drawing out of the hands of lawmakers and instead give it to an independent commission. Chris Mooney, executive director of the U of I's Institute of Government and Public Affairs, agrees that the way the district lines are drawn in the state is a factor. But he says the lack of competitive races is largely a product of demographics.
People tend to live by people who are like themselves in various ways, other than gender. That's the one demographic characteristic that is not geographically specific. So people that have more money tend to live by people with more money, and people with less money live by people with less money, and so forth. And those characteristics are often related to their party identification. So Democrats tend to live near Democrats, and Republicans tend to live near Republicans, and especially in state legislative districts, which are relatively small. Therefore, they're more likely to be homogenous on these various things than, say, a state as a whole or a congressional district.
Still, Mooney says that when one party has the power to control the map, some of the strategies they use for partisan advantage create districts where you're unlikely to see competitive races in a general election. He explains one tactic known as packing.
Packing is where you put as many of the other party's voters into a few districts. So you make some districts really, really heavily Republican if you're a Democrat, or you make them really, really heavily Democratic if you're a Republican. What that does, it wastes, in a sense, all those votes over 50%.
Mooney also keeps tabs on what's happening in other states. He says the few states that use independent commissions to draw their legislative maps have seen an increase in competitive races.
For example, in California, in the 2000 redistricting period, so the whole decade of the 2000s, there was one congressional or state legislative seat that changed parties. One, and that's, you know, California with 40 or so congressional seats and all their state legislative seats. So obviously not a lot of partisan competition going on there, whether or not somebody filed for the ballot or not. They implemented this kind of commission. They've got this really kind of strange, convoluted process. But right away in the first election, using those new districts, which is in 2012, there was quite a few turnover of party and so forth. You know, the odds are that it's probably going to increase contestation. It's not going to suddenly change things in a huge way because, again, the thing that's really driving it is demographics.
That Campaign for Political Reform analysis found that California was the most competitive state for legislative races out of the six the group looked at. Ohio was number two. In both states, more than three-quarters of the seats up for election have contested races. Both states also have something else in common. Sarah Bruni explains.
In California and Ohio, they do have term limits in those states. And so just as a fact, if you have term limits, you're going to have some incumbents who are not eligible to run. And that was a very big factor in what made those numbers so high.
Bruni says that making it easier for independent and third-party candidates to run in Illinois would also lead to more competitive races.
Well, it is definitely very complicated to get on the ballot in Illinois, as it is in many states. Something as simple as putting a staple in the wrong spot or numbering your pages incorrectly can get you tossed off the ballot after so much hard work of community organizing to get your neighbors and friends to support your candidacy. So I think that's something that also needs to be addressed. Ballot access, as far as getting local and grassroots candidates on the ballot, I think that's really important. And if we had more candidates like that, I don't think we'd be seeing the mess that we have in Springfield right now.
I asked voter Casey Becker if he would like to see more independent and third-party options on his ballot.
I would like nothing more than that. I definitely think it would change the conversation. You know, it's got to start somewhere, and getting people on the ballot, I guess, is the first step.
Reporting for NPR Illinois, I'm Jamie Dunn.